What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
So welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African-Americans who have seen success within the sport. We're bringing news from our favorite teams within the Premier League, MLS, as well as informing you on other top European leagues and news worldwide. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, just want to say thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Again, my name is Cornelius. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Happy March. Salam, how you feeling?
Feeling pretty good, man. Can't complain. Mike, how about you?
Hey, man. It's been a great weekend of, you know, nothingness. Chelsea didn't play, so I'm feeling all right.
It's always good.
You don't. How about you, Cornelius, man? How's it shaking in Cleveland, man?
It's all right, man. It's crazy. We had, you know, it's Cleveland in March when you get a random 50-degree day, and then the next day it snows. So it's officially almost spring. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But no, man. It's good. It's good. It's good. The MLS is officially in full swing. We got Premier League in full swing. Your European championships are coming in full swing. We're getting to the nitty-gritty. A lot of these cup competitions are getting to the final quarterfinal stages. So it's honestly a great time for football. You know, we got the Women's League as well, you know, starting over in Europe. It's been going. And then we got it starting here in the U.S. very, 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 very soon. So everything's hitting right now. It's going to be a good March. Obviously, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I want to start kind of chronologically this week because – we had some Premier League games, you know, midweek. We kind of highlighted that in our recaps on Instagram. So go check those out if you haven't already. But just want to highlight our teams. Let's start with Arsenal. Just talk about Arsenal just very, very quickly. I know Gabriel's not here, but do we think this is it for Arsenal? You know, 0-0 draw. We're not able to capitalize on getting the 3 points this week while the team in first place did. So, you know, how do we feel about Arsenal's title races? I know Gabe wasn't here to defend them, but Mike was pretty strong how we felt last week. I don't know, Salam, if you have any thoughts. I want to go to you first.
Yeah, I mean, I said this in my recap. I just, you know, this team has shown you that they're one of the best teams in the Premier League. They're more than capable to, you know, compete at a high level. And you know, what was already a good team needed reinforcements, but you know, they made the decisions that they did in this past summer, and I believe that they felt like they had enough to compete. Obviously, like I said in my recap, you can't predict injuries, but I just felt like you should have reinforced what was already a good team. You had a solid foundation there, but you know, this is the third year in a row, right? And the second time in those 3 years that you come up short when it counts because of the lack of depth, right? Because the first time, first year, I mean, Saliba went out. That was a big miss to them, right? Here we are, you know, a season, two seasons removed from that. And obviously we couldn't have saw Saka go out, Havertz go out, and Martinelli, their whole starting three. But, you know, this was, I believe the manager wanted someone in January. Nobody came in. And, you know, who knows if that person would have, you know, bridged the gap, but I just felt like it's not sending the right message because you're almost there. Just go for it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think they did a poor job, you know, building this team for this season. They got who out? They got Smith Rowe out. They got Nketiah out and somebody else. I'm not thinking of the name, but one of the academy kids that was playing well for them.
Nelson,
him. They got him up. And, you know, last week when I said it was over, I wasn't coming from a place of, you know, just banter. It was just, I feel like we've watched this league and this game for too long to understand how some of these things happen. When there's usually a team that's clearly the best team in the league, it's very hard when they've performed 27 weeks in a row in one way to think it changes in the next 11 games. And that's why I said what I said. As we speak now, it's 13. I mean, we have 11 more games to go. We'll see what happens, but I think they it's a big summer for them. This is the summer you get your striker. This has to be the summer, because if they don't, I do not think Arteta is going to get them over the hump. And I'm not even kidding. I believe that.
I agree with both of you. Yeah, it's tough. You know, Arsenal didn't do what they had to do this past January to get, you know, to bolster their squad just in case. And now we're seeing, you know, what kind of happens, the fallout of that. To change gears, just move real quickly to Chelsea on the other side of London. We got back on track with a 4-0 win against Southampton. It didn't really show me much. I don't really want to talk too much about the Chelsea match. But I do want to talk about Cole Palmer. He didn't really have another great performance. You know, for me, it felt like he was forcing a little bit. He was like, you know, this is the worst team in the league. Let me go get my goal. Let me go get my assist. Let me go, you know, get my confidence back. But he felt a little tight for me. You know, it felt like he was still trying to do too much in a game when he really didn't. You know, we went up early. We commanded a lead and we kind of played consistently. You know, I could highlight a few other players, but for me, it was one of those matches where I'm glad we got the clean sheet, first and foremost. That's great for our team. It has been a long time since we've done that. But I think we just need I need him to feel more comfortable. I still feel like he's searching for that goal, searching for that assist. He had a few chances, and he just wasn't able to pull it off. But overall, good team win. This is great for confidence. We're right back where we need to be in fifth place. You know, we're 2 points off of being in third place or fourth place. So it's right there for us right now. So I don't know. It's good. You know, Nottingham Forest is slipping. Being in third and fourth doesn't really matter. It's just for us being in top four has been my goal since the beginning of the year. How do you feel, Mike? Muted. You're muted, fam.
Sorry. This was a good win. We needed this to get going. There's 11 more games. I think this is the start of, you know, a decent run to come, hopefully. Can't complain, man. We're top five. The way Cole Palmer is struggling right now, I completely understand. Most players go through this. If you're a good player, at some point in your career, you're going to have a hard time, you know, finding some of these goals. But it's how he bounces back. So for me, at least for the last 10 games, show up, you know, contribute, make sure you can push outs to actually attain top four. And that's the goal. I think if he comes back in the next 10 games and is able to at least contribute with goals and assists, we should be fine.
And I don't even necessarily think he always has to be there giving goals and assists. I mean, like you said, Mike, as a young player, this is going to happen. You know, you're going to go through slumps. It's just how you bounce back. But you just got to impact the game. You know, like for me, there are many times where Hazard did not score, but he was the goal. He was the pass that led to the assist, you know, or he was affecting the game. He shoots the ball, it bounces off, and then someone's there to clean it up. You know, it's being able to affect the game in a positive way that I think he's lacking right now. You know, it's okay to have bad games, but you still need to be able to affect the game. And that's where I want to see more from him personally. That's just and it's not me bagging on him because he's still our best player and we know that. But like I said, in a game where we've kind of had control, kind of just, you know, let loose, be like, all right, like let me do this and that, which I saw him trying to do. It just seems a little forced still. I just want him to get back into his rhythm. And that's what I'm saying.
And I would like to add this to finish out. I don't think this is all on him. I also think the guys around him haven't been doing too well to actually help ease things up for him. So, you know, he's at a point where I feel like he's trying too hard. Like you said earlier, he's just trying too hard to find something to, you know, make an impact. And sometimes you just got to let the game come to you. As naive as it sounds, sometimes you just, the more you force, the difficult it gets. So I think the guys around him also should get some type of blame. We haven't seen Nkunku until the last game. I mean, the last game he showed himself. But I feel like the last few games before that, he was just, you know, lackadaisical, just walking around, just moping type thing. But I think if we're all able to come together, guys get their thing, you know, their mentality right for the end of the season, we should be fine.
Yeah, honestly, I agree. I think my biggest thing is I want to finish top four. I want to be in Champions League next year. I want to be back in that status. And our team is young, but I want them to understand this is crunch time. Like, we have 11 games to go. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where I need you to dig deep and get these wins, get these results. So we'll see what happens, but it's a good start for sure. Definitely a good start to March. United, you know, was able to go ahead and get that 3-2 win. It was a very exciting game. Shout out Harry Maguire. You know, he was, you know, he was one of our recaps as well. Just highlights from the midweek match. And does this give you any confidence? I know this weekend's been a little bit of turmoil, but does this give you any confidence moving forward? Even after hearing that, you know, this week, Amorim said that a lot of these guys are gone. There are reports that, you know, Ruben Amorim said, you know, a lot of you guys will not be making it past this summer. So kind of hearing that and then seeing, you know, this week play out in fruition, I guess, how you feel about the team and the results?
I mean, as far as the Ipswich game goes, it was nice to get the 3 points. Obviously, with where we are in the table, you know, every point matters, and that's, you know, it kind of propels us into a position where I think we should, well, now since we're out of the FA Cup, just focus on Europa League, and just put all our eggs in that basket to hopefully win and, you know, get into Champions League so that we can get more money going into next season. But no, I mean, I think it's I think it was obvious. I think one thing that I'm noticing about this manager is sometimes I just feel like he kind of says too much a little bit sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just don't think, like, you don't need to be saying some of the things that you're saying when we have, you know, a whole season left and we still have, you know, in spite of how bad the season's been, we still got something to fight for. You know, and that's a credit to, you know, the people who are there, the players that are there, the staff that's there. But I mean, I feel like he said something that we've already known, something that I've been saying for years now. Ragnick said this, you know, years back about how if we want to get better, I mean, we need a new hall of players. And so, I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, you know, that game seems like so long ago. especially with how, you know, we exited today. I mean, the result is good. It's just a matter of, you know, can we find success starting this Thursday versus Real Sociedad? But it was a big confidence booster for us to go a man down and to get the whole 3 points. That's huge for us, man, because that game easily could have been a game where we don't get any points. So yeah, shout out to the team, shout out to Maguire, and I mean, if you guys want to get into FA Cup, we can, since we're already on
it. That's a good segue into FA Cup. Game just happened. Okay. Yeah, game just happened. So I mean, it's super fresh, but I mean, going into even before going into Pens, I kind of want to talk about personally just Garnacho, man. It's tough to watch because this is a player who personally I've actually, you know, gassed a little bit. I thought this was the guy, man. I thought this young guy, especially last year, he had a very great year. Coming into the season, I thought he was going to take that next step and be that winger that you could rely on. You know, we kind of talked about how Martinelli was that guy for Arsenal, you know, how he 2 years ago, he kind of took that step and became that guy they could rely on. And I thought that was going to be Garnacho this year. Obviously, that was Ahmad before the injury. But you guys are depleted and, you know, you guys are down to bare bones. And so thinking Garnacho was going to be able to supply something, it's taken me, I guess, 27 weeks to see what you've seen a little, probably just because, you know, you're a United fan. But sometimes being too direct isn't always good. You need to use your head. You need to be a player that can adapt and understand the moment. And today it just showed that he was not able to do that at all. And obviously you guys were the FA Cup holders, no longer will be, you know, leading that title charge to get it again. But that was just my biggest takeaway from this game is you guys had potential chances to go do something. You know, you had these half chances. Mm-hmm. Garnacho had instances in which, you know, maybe better decision-making may have opted better results, but I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right, man. I agree with you. And not just in this game, but just previous games too. You know, in spite of our lack of continuity, not being able to, you know, consistently, you know, play like a team, we create a decent amount of chances. We just don't score. Mm-hmm. You saw that today versus Fulham. I felt like in large parts of that game, we were in control. I think on paper going into it, I was like, wow, this is, I would have said that Fulham, just how this season would have been, it's hard for me to say that they would have been the favorites. I feel like if we were at Craven Cottage, they definitely would have been the favorites. But, you know, I thought being at home and, you know, kind of, you know, seeing how that Ipswich game would have, you know, done us well. And for large parts of the game, it did, but we just didn't finish our chances, man. I mean, I think Garnacho's a great, he's a talented player. I just think that with the way that the manager wants to play, especially with how he's aligned the positions, there's really no room for him in the team. He's mm-hmm. not going to play as a right wing back, and he can't play as a 10. You know, he wants to continuously, he wants to be the guy who's scoring the goals, you know, the talisman. And I just don't think that he fits, you know, the puzzle that Amorim's trying to, you know, present to all of us. So I think he's a talented player. He came from the academy. He's provided us with many moments. But, you know, if we could cash in on him and, you know, use that to invest in other places in the squad, I'd be for it. Because, you know, and you can kind of tease though too. He was frustrated today. He was visibly frustrated with a lot of the things that was going on, the things not working for him. But
I think it was self. I think it was like self frustration. You know, like a lot of these, like just like I said about Cole, I think a couple of these chances he was just forcing it. And then, you know, yeah. once you start doing that as a player, you kind of know your teammates are looking at you, and then you're getting your own head. Yeah. It's one of mm-hmm. those type. Like that's what I felt for him on the pitch. He wanted to go be that guy to win it, not realizing like, yo, like. Pick your head up, you know?
Listen, I feel him. I feel him because, listen, like we, you know, this is a player who, you know, we were heralding as being like, you know, one of the next guys up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now, like this past summer, you know, we're putting him up for transfer. So I could see from his, you know, from his perspective, wanting to prove himself, wanting to show that, like, you know, he can do it. But, you know, at the same time, I just feel like there's also a lot of noise around you. You know what I'm saying? Off the field. And it's just kind of like, for whatever reason, last game, you're just walking off the pitch. Like, we have a man down, you just walk off the field. You know what I'm saying? As if, mm-hmm. you know. Apparently, it was just because it was raining heavy that day. And he said he just wanted to change out of his clothes or whatever. Which is whatever, man. I'm not trying to get into it.
No, I mean, I'm not mad. Like, hey, that's a sly excuse. I'm not mad at it.
No, there's just been a lot of noise around you, though. You know, and that's not – I'm not making that up, though.
You know, yeah, whatever yeah reason, no, I hear you.
Talking about leaks and all this other stuff. I don't know if it's him, but I'm just saying there's mm-hmm. always noise around you and you're not producing on the pitch too. So, which I can see. He's a low player on low confidence, like many other players. Like Rasmus, I don't know what he's thinking. For Chido Obi-Martin, I thought he actually was one of the few bright spots for us today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And by no means do I think he's ready to play week in, week out at the Premier League mm-hmm. level. But he seems more productive than Rasmus, and that's concerning for me because, you know, and it should be for him too because I'm looking at him like, you know, I feel like by now there's a few players that, like, you know, we've kind of solidified you're either in it for next year
or out. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Xerxes today, Xerxes obviously, you know, he missed the last penalty, but in the game, all things considering he's a 9, he played in the 10, I thought he played well. Obviously, the penalty, you know, it was what it was. Yes, I would have loved to see – obviously, he's going to get a lot of the blame. I would have loved to see Lindelof not take a penalty. I don't know why he's taking a penalty. He hasn't played all season. And mm-hmm. to a penalty to potentially get you through to the semifinal of the FA Cup, you're the one taking it. Where's Garnacho in that moment, you know? It's like, you want to take all these shots? What? Take this one. You know, like it just, I don't know. There's a lot of.
Let me ask you this. So there were reports, you know, yesterday that, you know, Amorim has already told a set number of players that, you know, they will have to leave this summer. How do you feel about that? Do you think it affects your push for Europa League at the end of the season? Because if some guys already know they're not going to be here and, hey, this man doesn't want me part of his plans, why should they fight for, you know, the FA, the Europa League?
Yeah, I think it's a tough position to put your team as a, from a coach's perspective, especially because you still got something to fight for. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, bro. Also, I feel like some of the guys, man, like some of the guys already know, but I don't know. I feel like he's playing most of the guys that he trusts for the most part. The only ones that are playing now that I don't see could potentially move is, I think the goalkeeper is an issue, right? Mm-hmm. The goal, we have to figure that out. What's going on there? I think, you know, Maguire, that's another question mark right there.
But see, Maguire is a very big question mark in my opinion. You know where I stand on Maguire, but the last few weeks, I'll probably say this season, he hasn't really been the problem in most cases like he used to be.
Yeah.
Like today, first half, probably your best player. You know? Yeah. There are spots where he's like good for you guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But so it's a tricky one for me. But I still think if you could do better, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
But he's a player to me, bro. He's a player like Delo, for example. He's a player that, like, yes, he may, just because you're doing a job now in this struggling team, does that mean we should persist?
That's
with
a
you?
Good point. That's a good
DeLo
point.
DeLo had an assist today. Someone might tell you that DeLo had a good game today, but I'm like, DeLo, I really I don't get it, you know. But I also understand, to answer your question, yes, I think it does. It could potentially hurt the confidence of the team, but I don't know. I also think that the manager has shown that he does have favorites in the team, and I think that I don't think he would have said it if it would have hurt his chances in finding success on the team. I think everybody he said that for are people that are not in the team currently.
That's just my opinion. Okay. And I mean, to add on to it, I think a manager that does that, players should appreciate the honesty. At least you know where you stand, you know? So,
you know. We gotta change.
Yeah, that's a good point. United, it's in an interesting spot, but as Salam said, there's always next year. there's always next year.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big summer for us, man. For a lot of
different huge teams. Summer. I feel like
there's a lot of eyes on a lot of people. I'm curious. Any else? You didn't really do anything in January. That's signaling to me that you're going to have a big summer because, you know, the fact that, again, you know, we've had, I thought the Aiden Heaven from Arsenal, I thought he did okay from the little bit of I saw him, what I saw from him. I thought Chido Obi, another good
spot. To be honest, not to cut you off, if he plays the whole game, he probably scores.
Maybe. He had chances too.
He had chances, yeah. Yeah, he had the last one Leno saved with his hand. That was going in.
He had one that was off target where he broke off, I don't know, I think Bassi. And but I think it says a lot that, you know, the manager can't bring on, you know, more reinforcements. Obviously, we have a lot of players out, but it's like, you know, we only have none but youth players on our bench. You know? So yeah, it's tough, man. But yeah, I would like to see more of the kids play a little bit more. I think we got some gems in there.
Okay. I agree, man. So just going on the FA Cup, I want to highlight a few games, a few of the big ones. The first one for me is going to be the Crystal Palace game, primarily because of the red card. Mateta, I want to highlight him first and foremost because we weren't really able to talk about what he did midweek, but he became Crystal Palace's second time or second place on their all-time goal scoring list. So we kind of forgotten, you know, he's been there for a while, you know, back when he had the dreadlocks. And, you know, now he's a bald bandit, but he's still scoring goals, going crazy. But for those who haven't seen, it was a terrible ball played. Or it was a ball played to Mateta. He was one-on-one almost with the goalkeeper, and he comes out way out of the box. The goalkeeper was on Millwall.
Yeah.
And Goalkeeper comes in with a flying high leg, studs up, catches Mateta on the head. I have in my notes, Michael Oliver's terrible non-decision until VAR intervened was the only reason why he got played the red card. Because there has been discussions on social media, and I'll get to that in a second. But Mateta has been discharged from St. George's Hospital, where he had 25 stitches to a severe laceration on his left ear after a flying kick from Millwall keeper Liam Roberts in the FA Cup match. That's a direct report. I think it came straight from Crystal Palace's social media. So my first question for y'all is, you know, we kind of talk about VAR and we kind of talk about the refereeing in the Prem, and you know, Michael Oliver gets heralded as one of the world's best, right? And social media right now is saying, one, this player should be banned. And I want to know how you guys feel about that. And two, they want Michael Oliver to be to somehow be like reprimanded, you know, a little bit. Because why did it take you going to VAR until you decided to make a call? Because apparently I wasn't able to watch the match, but apparently on the pitch, he called for a common foul or he didn't necessarily pull out a card until VAR was like, hey, you got to come look at this. And then, you know, after all the hoopla, he goes to, you know, obviously the screen and he makes a decision. But player, you know, the fans are calling for, you know, Michael Oliver to be reprimanded. So first question I have is, do you think this player should be banned, Liam Roberts? And if banned, for how long? And then secondly, Michael Oliver, do you think there should be some sort of demotion or reprimand, or how do you think anything should be, any action should be taken on Michael Oliver based on his non-decision in this Millwall call?
I mean, I in my opinion, I don't think that he needed to go to VAR to see that that foul was more than a common foul. So yeah, I think, clearly. I don't know why there's really any discrepancies there. You're on the pitch, you're seeing it. But I mean, like it was terrible. It was terrible. I'm glad to hear that Mateta has been discharged from the hospital, but no, I think it was a very bad foul. And it's you almost have to think like you had no like that's so like bad judgment. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You had no chance of getting that. So do I think he should be banned? No, not necessarily. I think like that was just a very, very poor decision. I think he should probably be suspended. But I wouldn't necessarily call for him to be banned. I would just call for him to be suspended. And with Michael Oliver, me personally, I'm not surprised, man. Some of the weirdest controversial calls have been from the Premier League from him. Yeah. So I just think that, you know, you don't have these issues in other leagues. You know, I watched the whole weekend of MLS. Really no problems here. You know, there's no problems in Bundesliga. There's really no problems in La Liga. But over, you know, in the Premier League for whatever, in England for whatever reason, I don't know. It almost seems as if, like, the refs are as big as the players. Like, you know, like that's what the vibes I'm getting from it.
True. I think you've pretty much said everything. The weird calls with Anthony Taylor this season just seems to be stacking up. And yes, I feel like, you know, we as fans watching week in, week out, some of these things stick out to us. And when it starts piling up just for one referee, we need to look at it. But ban, you know, suspend him, I don't know, because with a referee, it's always a toss-up, you know. Sometimes you're trying to follow the book of, you know, the rules, just straight to the T. And sometimes I feel like in certain situations, you just don't need it. And this was one of those situations. You didn't need anything to help you make that decision. Like, you saw what happened. It was dangerous. You make that decision. It is what it is with Anthony Taylor, man. These calls just, his odd, weird calls just keep stacking up.
Was it Taylor or Oliver?
Yeah, it was Michael Oliver.
Michael Oliver. Sorry. Yeah. Why do I keep, you know how I feel about
clearly, yeah.
Michael Oliver.
Freudian slip. It's coming out. Awesome. But yeah, man, I personally, I think that Banning is going a little bit too far. I know social media gets in a frenzy, but the reason I bring up the suspension or the ban is because, you know, I want to highlight the Wolves game as well, because Cunha lost his head in a bit of frustration. Mm-hmm. I was actually watching the match. First and foremost, great and entertaining match, but you know, Cunha lost his head, got a red card after headbutting a player on the opposition. They were playing Bournemouth. I think it was Kirkez that he was getting into it with. And, you know, there were a few instances in which Cunha could have been given a card, whether it was yellow or red. You know, obviously that was up to the ref, but few instances in which, you know, he kicked at a player, he headbutted a player, he lashed out. There was some sort of on-field interaction. Couldn't really tell what happened, but you know, people are calling for Cunha to be suspended for a long period of time. And I'm like, okay, I get the outrage, but this player on Millwall sent someone to the hospital for a non-football play. You know, like, this is a non-football play. This guy is coming in like Jet Li with a swinging leg, not just with his feet, with a cleat. Mateta's looking at the ball. This goalkeeper is looking at this man. So for me, I don't think a player should be banned for this, but the suspension needs to be long, and it needs to be very, very, you know, it's like what they say, the time's got to fit the crime for me.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those plays that it's not a football play. You shouldn't be seeing this on a football field. And, you know, to end it, the Millwall fans were saying FVAR, you know, the Millwall fans were heard chanting, let him die, speaking for Mateta. So there's been, you know, a lot of things around this Millwall crowd, the Millwall atmosphere, the Millwall players. And I just wanted to highlight it because I didn't really know too much about Millwall at all until this happened.
They have history.
And you start reading a little bit more about them, and you start hearing the history, and then you start seeing the ref not giving these calls. And it's like, yo, we got to start protecting our players. At the end of the day, the referee is there to protect the players and officiate the game. And this was just one of those instances where I looked at the game and I'm just like, dog, what's going on, bro? Like, this was just bad from top to bottom. And so I don't know. You know, I want to move on from that and talk about the Wolves game, because that was another entertaining one. But Cunha, you know, lost his head. It ended up going into penalties, one of the more entertaining penalties that I've seen in a long time. Bournemouth ends up winning the penalties, and they're going through to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. But I wanted to talk about Cunha just because we were kind of gassing him a little bit. You know, he just got this deal. He was playing well. And in it was random, bro. I don't know if you guys were able to watch the match or saw highlights, but it was such a random just common foul, but he seems to have lost his head. And you know, that's kind of how you start to lose your legacy, and you start to get this, you know, this reputation. Now you have this stain and this reputation on you. And I don't know. Were you guys able? How do you feel about the whole Cunha debacle? What's going on with him right now?
If you guys remember very well, this is not the first time this season. You guys remember? What game was it? I can't remember the game. By the end of the game, he was getting into it with the teams. Coaches on this. Yeah. So this is not his first rodeo. And for that to happen, and then for you to do this past weekend, now it's becoming a pattern. Now everybody's going to start looking at you that, okay, this is who you are as a player. So I don't know. He might need FA is definitely going to come down on him. They'll probably give him 5 games maybe, just to, you know, make an example out of him. But he will probably definitely get suspended for sure, because this is his second like incident that made a scene after, you know, during the game. And I don't think they're going to let it slide. They're not going to let it slide.
Yeah. I mean, I don't ever think, you know, especially over in England, like, you know, players of color, it's not in your best interest to be that, regardless of how worked up you may get and, you know, how, you may be right in that situation. You know the game that's being played over there, and like you guys said, you know, it's tough to kind of rewrite your reputation once they kind of label you as XYZ, right? You know, and you're the best player on your team too, so like, you know, in those moments, you know, hopefully he learns from this, and I'm sure he will, but you know, it's, you'd like to see someone like that kind of be, have a little bit more composure and ultimately see his team out, because you know, you win this, you're in the semifinal of an FA Cup. You know, you're, you know, it's the game. But shout out to him. He's had a phenomenal year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely want to shout him out because he is having a great year. We want to see those players do better. You know, personally in the group chat, I was talking about how Cunha, this year, you know, if you just look on at his form and what he's been doing for Wolves, for me, he's been a top five Brazilian attacker. You know, if you look across the top five leagues and what he's been doing, we could talk about some of these other players, but when you kind of, you know, have this reputation and we can't rely on you because, you know, we know at any given moment your head could be gone, that we can't rake you up there. You know, I can't put you up there with the men if I can't rely on you. So, you know, shout out to Cunha, but we just want to see you do a little bit better, bro. You know, you're a player that we want to see do very well in the Prem and beyond. You know, you're Brazilian. We want to see Brazil come back to his former glory. So just wanted to highlight that as well. But switching gears, want to talk about the MLS a little bit, highlight our Ohio teams, of course, and then talk about some of these big games that we had. Hey, MLS been smacking, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. First, I want to talk about, you know, we got to talk about our Ohio teams. We got to start with the good. Columbus Crew, you know, away game against the New England Revolution. Shout out Russell Rowe with that second half goal. It was a nail biter, though. I'm not going to lie. I feel like it wasn't comfortable. I know Mike was saying that he didn't feel comfortable. He needed that second goal. Obviously, after that Russell Rowe, there was one that hit the post, but, you know, so far, so good though, Mike. Columbus looking
high. Hey man, you can't complain. What was one of our concerns with this Columbus team? Where are the goals going to come from? Like I said last week, you know, Russell was somebody who actually, you know, got his real run of games last season, and this season now, you know, hey, they've given you the keys, and in two games he showed up and. Let's keep it going. I mean, this team is still pretty good. And like I said last week, this manager, as long as this manager is with us, I have the confidence in him to, you know, take these players to where they need to be. And I still think we're one of the best teams, you know, not only in the East, but in Ohio. I was watching the broadcast. I was watching Charlotte Atlanta United, and they were talking about, oh, this Charlotte team, if they want to make strides in the league, and one of the two teams they named was Cincinnati and Miami. And I was like, wait, why is everybody forgetting, like, we didn't just win the league like two seasons ago, you know? So I like where we are so far, and let's just keep it consistent. That's all I need. And we know how the Crew get. I haven't seen it so far this year. Did we concede last game? Was it 2-1?
We did concede last game.
But that was one of our problems last season, you know, conceding goals. So, you know, clean sheet, big deal for us.
That was a big win. I mean, you guys definitely they said Cincinnati, though. That's crazy.
Yeah, they said Inter Miami and Cincinnati. And I was so caught off guard, like, wait, how is Cincinnati getting shouts? We're not even getting shouts. How is Cincinnati?
You guys are not ready yet. No, I don't want to. We're ready. We are ready.
We switching gears. You got something to say about Columbus?
No, I didn't want to take anything away from Columbus. I thought it was, you know, they got the 3 points. They move. I feel like they haven't. You can tell they haven't really clicked yet. So it'll be, you know, it's going to be a journey this season for them to, you know, to see how they go. I agree with Mike. You know, a consistent source of goals. Where is that going to come from? Could it be Russell? It could be. I think so. I think he looked well. Like Mike said last week, I feel like he got his, you know, his run at towards the end of last season, you know, really where he started to play more consistently. So we'll see. But yeah, two wins from two is good for you guys. I got it, Cornelius. I'll just go into FCC.
Go ahead, bro. Yeah. Go ahead.
Nah, it was tough, man. 4-1. This was, you know, this was a tough game, man. I'll just say, you know, we looked off of it from the start. and our 4-1 loss to Philadelphia. Shout out to them. And, you know, honestly, I'm not surprised. This was, like I said, this was our fourth game in 10 days. So we just look off of it from the start. And, you know, they took full advantage of it. So I wanted to shout out Ty Baribo, got the hat trick, you know, really punished us for our mistakes. And, you know, that makes it 5 goals in 2 games for him. And for Philadelphia, that's 8 goals in 2 games for them. So wow. they've had a great start. You know, I know we were talking about, you know, Atlanta being one of the dark horses last week, but Philadelphia, I mean, they've been definitely, they look like the most, you know, I would say the best team so far in the Eastern Conference from the 2 games. 8 goals in two games. That's hard to beat, man. So shout out to them. As far as Cincy goes, you know, the only bright spot for me was that Evander got his first goal, but it just wasn't our night. So, but we're definitely still one of the best teams. Don't get it twisted, Mike. They wouldn't just be saying that if that wasn't true. You know, we still have players to come back. You know, Miazga, Luca Aurelio. Just wait.
Yes, you guys are. I think you guys are a well-built team. But it takes time to gel. It takes time to figure out each other. And that is where I'm looking at to see that, you know, maybe you guys will drop a few games you should win. Yeah. You know, so it might cost you, you know, in your seeding to get favorable matchups in the playoffs. So until, you know, the crew just completely looks like a different team. Nah, you got to earn this one.
No.
You got to come see us.
I'll bet you guys that we finish above you guys in the Eastern Conference.
Ooh, not this man yeah. Again. Oh. Let's do it.
There it is. There it is. Hey,
you heard it here first on the pod. You heard it here first. All right.
Hey, that was nice unprovoked dinner. Too. That was unprovoked.
Yeah.
We'll check it as the season goes.
Which all is right. We'll
definitely do some mid-season check-ins. Some season check-ins. Nah, man. So yeah, shout out to both of our Ohio teams, of course. Just a few other games I wanted to highlight. What ended up being game of the week, 3-3 banger over Colorado versus FC Dallas. I was able to watch the highlights of that actually, and all the goals, honestly, the goals were very good. We're seeing some high quality goals. I don't know if you guys were able to catch that. Any of those teams stick out to you as the season's starting pretty early here?
Yeah, I mean, I was curious to see how Dallas did, especially how last week went for them. I mean, they have a lot of new faces, but, you know, Acosta's there now. He got his goal.
He got his goal, yep.
He got his goal, and not just him. I mean, they have a few other pieces that, you know, I think that, you know, could really help them throughout the season. Peter Musa from Croatia, he got a goal and an assist. So, yeah, man, if they can just stay healthy, I think that they'll – you know, be competitive in the Western Conference, and it made for a good game, man. Obviously, you know, this is the second week of MLS, but 3-3, very entertaining. All the games have been good, so I was happy with what I saw. As far as Colorado, I think I would like to – one of my hopes for this season, and I think it will happen, I would like to see a reemergence of the Rapids. That they have a lot of players, especially players of color, a lot of black players there that I'd like to see do well. Zach Steffen, you know, Awaziam and Ian Murphy, they came from Cincinnati. Reggie Cannon is over there too. So, yeah, I would like to see them do well, but definitely game of the week for me.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, Zach Steffen was one for me that stood out because I didn't even know he was at Colorado. I'm not even going to lie. I did not know he was at Colorado, so just getting to see him back in the MLS. You know, I would have loved to see him back with the crew, but it is what it is. But hopefully he can get back to himself because it seems like whatever happened on Man City, you know, kind of got him out of, you know, who he is as a keeper. Because I thought he was one of the best keepers in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, even when he went to Europe, even going to City, I was like, this is a big step for him. But I thought he was that good enough, you know, to be able to stick it out. But it's good to see him back in the MLS. So hopefully, yeah, he can get back to feeling like himself again.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. A lot of fun stuff in that match. Another game I wanted to highlight, the Real Salt Lake versus Seattle Sounders match. Real Salt Lake gets their first win of the season. Seattle Sounders, it's been a tough start for them, but just wanted to highlight the Salt Lake. Were you guys able to watch that match and anything there?
Yeah, man. Definitely. To like you said, Seattle definitely has had a really rough start to the season, at least in the MLS, you know, 0-2. They just brought in players like Jesus Ferreira and what's his name? Aurelio. He came from FC Dallas. I feel like I'm mispronouncing his name, but U.S. men's national team player. I'm saying his name wrong, but yeah, man, with the additions of those two, hopefully, you know, they can provide more firepower. But I think I feel like the bright spot for me was Real Salt Lake, man. I felt like they looked good. They had a good midweek in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Mm-hmm. And then they built off of that with a solid 2-0 win over the Seattle Sounders. So I think good win for them. I wanted to shout out Forster Ajago for his first MLS goal. You know, I feel like one of the stories going into the MLS this season as it pertains to Real Salt Lake was, you know, who was going to be, you know, their guy up top, who's going to get the goals for them. And it's funny because, you know, Ajago scored and he went to go do his celebration. And the commentators were like, maybe they don't need a number nine. You know, it was really cool. Yeah, they have one. I think that he's more than capable of getting the goals for them. Yeah. You know, the celebration, he was like, yo, it's my time now. Let me do my thing. Mm-hmm. he's had a good week on a personal level. He's scored, what, 2 goals this week? Yeah. He scored in the week in the Champions Cup. So shout out to him. Shout out to Real Salt Lake. You know, they're going to be one of the teams that I definitely keep an eye on the Western Conference. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Big week, 2-2 for him this week. So shout out Forrester Ajago. And then, yeah, you know, the MLS is getting off to a very, very good start. I just wanted to highlight, we don't have to talk about it, but San Diego, I know they won their first game against LAFC, a 0-0 draw at home against St. Louis City. 4 points in their first two matches. So just very, very good for the expansion team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's early, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Lozano got hurt. He got subbed off in the 31st minute. Mm-hmm. But, you know, his home debut was cut short. But for me, I thought what was really interesting was just, like, the atmosphere, man. Like, they got a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Like, it looked lit. And, you know, Issa Rae was there. Thames was there.
Thames was there. I mean, they're part owners. And I wanted to highlight that because, you know, obviously we want to highlight Africans and African-Americans in sports. These are two entertainers. These are two women. Yeah. Who are now taking, you know, their influence to obviously this global game. Thames being from Nigeria, you know, Issa having African roots. This is right in their backyard. So for them to actually get this type of atmosphere, you can see that these games look lit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they have the owners there. They have people. They have stars coming to the game. This is also a big city. So it's like it's cool what they got going down in San Diego. I definitely like the vibe down there.
Yeah, and they got the Right to Dream pipeline too, like with the academy there too. So like definitely, like that's, you know, that's going to be another team that I keep an eye on the Western Conference because I think Mike said it last week. Like they don't look like an expansion team. Like
no, they don't.
Is more than ready to compete. So yeah, shout out to them. Shout out to Thames, Issa Rae, and yeah. I mean, it would have been nice. I wanted to see them. You know, get that first goal at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, kind of crowd, but you know, I guess we'll have to wait till next home game.
I think this is also, you know, add into America's growth in, you know, the football or soccer space, you would say, because for them to be on expansion team, packed stadium, crowd going, and actually have a good product of football on the field, I think we have to start giving, you know, U.S. soccer some credit. I think it's growing. We might be underestimating it because, you know, maybe we're living through it, so we can't really see it. Yeah. But I think all those aspects of just that for San Diego just tells us, you know, the game is growing. It's growing.
Nah, Mike, I think you just hit the nail on the head, because, I mean, when you think about how much the game has grown in this country in the last 5-10 years, I mean, you look at the women's national team success being a big catalyst on people actually having eyes on soccer from the women's and the men's side. You know, a lot of people just weren't hit, but everyone gets around for the Olympics. Everyone gets around for these Women's World Cups. So you see that being a big, big catalyst to the game. So now we have these stars going over to Europe, you know, on the men's and women's side. So that just grows the game. And then 2026, the World Cup coming to the United States and North America. So it's, I mean, you're right. We're living through it. And that little shadow of American soccer not being up to par. I mean, we just saw Leo Messi, the best player in the world, come to the MLS. So people's misconceptions of American soccer are starting to break down a little bit. And it's kind of cool to see, to be honest. Like, that's a great point. I didn't really think about it until you said that. We are living through it, but it's fun to kind of see it grow. You know, there's, you know, the Denver is going to be an expansion team to the NWSL here in America. And, you know, we're looking at the USL adding promotion and relegation. So it's getting real over here, man. We can't say that.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing a lot of moves, and this has been very, very quick. Like I said, the last 5-10 years, we've seen media, you know, coverage, a lot of things expand, you know, the MLS getting this deal with Apple TV, Ted Lasso being another catalyst, people loving Ted, all these things are moving at the same time. So it's cool to be a part of it, just to see it and just be able to comment on it for real.
Yeah, I think the more people of influence they get, like, the better. Like, one thing that I really love is, like Atlanta United does a good job of, like, really you know, including like the hip hop artists there. So, like, you know, Gunna and all of them will, you know, show up, Quavo. And it's just kind of like, you know, mixing like both, you know, like the culture with the sport and just getting more eyes on it, man. Like, I think the game's in a great place. It's going to continue to grow. And, you know, San Diego's first home game for it to look like that, it just shows that there's a lot of opportunity here. There's a lot of people who want the sport, you know, in their city. So, I feel like we're all both lucky to where, you know, we have, you know, MLS teams. Obviously, we can get Cleveland one too.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
that trifecta.
Yeah, so I mean, clearly I'm here in the city, so I know, but I was just talking about Denver being the newest city to be a part of the NWSL here in America, and it was Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Denver for the expansion team for the NWSL. Obviously, Cincinnati already has the infrastructure with the MLS. With us here in Cleveland, we were going to add an NWN or MLIS pro team as well. They were going to come hand in hand. So there were plans. You know, Denver obviously had the best bid, so the team's going to Denver. But, you know, things are moving quick. You know, there are a lot of leagues popping up. There's a lot more money being pumped into the sport. So it's crazy to see where the game's going, and it's like I said, it's just fun to watch and be a part of it in any capacity. Yeah, man, San Diego, y'all got something going over there, and I love the African influence. Love that,
bro. No, I love it. I did want to shout out before we move on the San Jose Earthquakes. They won 2-1. Bruce Arena's the coach over there, and I feel like, you know, a coach of his caliber to be back in the league, like, man. Well, I mean, he was back in the league, but I'm saying, like, he has a good thing going there. They got in vets like Joseph Martinez. He scored. Christian Arango, he scored. Even a man down, they were still able to win. So I think San Jose is definitely going to be, like, my dark horse in the Western Conference. I mean, 2 wins out of 2. They got the coach. I feel like they have the experience in the right places. So,
yeah,
they could be a
team. I can agree with that.
So just wanna, before we wrap up here, a few things to look forward to. Champions League coming right back up. We're in the nitty-gritty now, boys. We're in the round of 16. Yeah. So just want to highlight, obviously, the games that are coming up this week. So Tuesday we have Club Brugge versus Aston Villa, Dortmund versus Lille, PSV Eindhoven versus Arsenal. And then we got the Madrid Derby as well, Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid. We can go game by game, kind of just give our thoughts. Brugge versus Villa, who we got, what we thinking?
This is a tricky one for me.
I might go first.
Brugge's at home. So Villa will be playing away on the first leg.
I mean, Villa's looked like a shell of themselves. If we're looking at them from the perspective of what they've done in the last two seasons, they look like a shell of themselves. But somehow, you know, they got points off of Chelsea, so who knows? Hey, who knows what they could do? I don't know. They've had some very bad losses recently. They were able to pick up an FA Cup win this past weekend, but it's getting to, you know, unfamiliar territory for them, at least in recent times in the Champions League. So I still give them the advantage because I think they have players that will put them in position to get through this this round. But that could be, let me not say that. I think they're going to get through against Club Brugge, and let's leave it at that. We'll see who they get matched up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a good matchup for them considering where they are right now, like in terms of form, right? Mm-hmm. They could have been matched up with a lot of different teams that they probably, you know, didn't want to see. Because I agree with Mike. Like they haven't really, mm-hmm. I guess, found that groove, the same groove that they had earlier in the season. So to kind of gain some confidence, hopefully against a team like Bruges, would do them good because I think that they could be a sneaky team, bro. Again, like, I really don't know what their ambitions are in terms of the league. I think finishing in probably one of the European spots is what they want to do. But, you know, this is, you know, let's not forget, this is Unai Emery in a European competition. So, you know how he gets around this time. You know, this guy is he's good in the cups. He's good in Europe. He has a lot of experience. Yeah. And I think that he has guys that are kind of heating up at the right time. Guys like Rashford, mm-hmm. guys like Asensio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if Ollie Watkins can get, you know, get going a little bit, if Onana can come back healthy, who knows, man? Like, they can make a sneaky run, but I got them getting past Bruges.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo both of y'all's sentiments. I got them getting past Bruges, too, just based off what you guys said. Unai Emery just has this European pedigree, so we know what he's done in these type of situations, and I think Bruges is a good matchup for them in this first knockout round. So, well, I guess round of 16, I should say. So I got Villa going through as well. Next match is Dortmund versus Lille. This is like another weird matchup. Lille is fifth in Ligue 1 currently. They're going on a little bit of a run. You know, Jonathan David's doing his thing there. And then we have Dortmund, which is in a weird spot. You know, they're 10th on the Bundesliga table. But somehow we always see Dortmund in the round of 16 or quarterfinals. So it's like, you know Dortmund's going to be there, but it's tricky. You know, Dortmund's at home this first leg. What do y'all think about this matchup?
I mean, Dortmund, I don't know, man. I just feel like – I think it's great that they're starting off the cup tie at home just because they're a team that just – you talk about inconsistency, man, up and down all season. You know, they'll have games where they look good, like they'll put up five goals, and then, I don't know, like you're also a team that can concede within the first 45 seconds of the game, and then it's like, oh, wow. Okay, so everything that we just talked about out the window. Let's kind of go for it now. I mean, they definitely have the players. I think that, I don't know, maybe I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I actually think that Dortmund gets knocked out over the course of two legs. I think Lille knocks them out. I think Lille at the moment is a better team than Dortmund. So, but I think the best player, I agree with that. The best player is on Dortmund, which is Guirassy. Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
I think there's so much, you know, a new manager bounce can give you, especially when you've been, you know, very up and down all season. And Champions League is not one of those places to get your, you know, new manager bounce. It doesn't work that way. You know, there's very few times we've seen, you know, Cinderella stories like that, well, like the one they had last season. But I don't think they get through this matchup. I don't think so.
Yeah, I'd agree. This is another sticky one. I'm gonna lean Lille just because they're in a better form as a team. I agree with you, Salam. The best players probably are on Dortmund. You know, if you look at top two or three players on the pitch, but with what Leo's been doing as a team this year, I just think they're just in a little bit better form. So interesting to watch. Definitely going to have my eyes on that one. But I think we'll all have our eyes on this next match. We got, you know, none of us got skin in the game, but I think we're all looking at Arsenal versus PSV. Arsenal will be playing away in that first leg. What do you guys think? What's your thoughts on it?
It's tough with Arsenal, man. It's tough because I don't think I'll start by saying I think that they'll go through. And I think that they'll go through because I think defensively, I think that they're very sound. In these cup competitions, I don't think that you're going to see much nonsense, especially in the back. I think that they'll take care of business there. It's just, you know, it's more of what we've been asking. Where are the goals going to come from? Where is that, you know, consistent source of goals going to come from? And we'll see. But again, you only need one goal to win a game if you don't leave any, if you don't concede any. So Arsenal should, in spite of all their injuries, they should have enough to be able to get past PSV. But, you know, this is another opportunity where I'm looking at Arteta like, hey, he, all banter aside, he's a good manager. I'm not going to say that, but it's just like there are certain moments throughout the season where I'm like, you know, maybe you can't do it all by yourself as the coach, but I don't know. As someone who's heralded as one of the best coaches in Europe, we got to see something, man. You know, this is 3 years, amongst the top coaches in Europe. Like, we want to see you, bro. So I know that you don't have your full team. I understand that. I know your whole front three is out. But, you know, these are the decisions that were made, and you are in the position that you are in. And, come on, let's see it. Mm-hmm. We got to see something. So I think that they'll get through, but I don't think that it's going to be pretty by any means.
I can agree with that. I agree with you. It's tough to say Arsenal don't go through because they do a lot of things well. But with the injuries and, you know, the key guys they're missing, if they don't move on, I would understand why. I would chuck it up to those things because, I mean, no striker, you know, your best player Saka's out and, you know, you have to play with a makeshift striker. I mean, all these things matter, especially in competitions like this. So if they don't move on, I completely understand. But once again, I still tip them. I give them I think they're the favorites in this position. They're still a better team if we're comparing both teams. So I would say Arsenal moves on, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest here. I expect them to move on, to be honest. I agree with what both of you said. But this is where I look at Arteta first and foremost. And I said, look, you were here in Champions League last year. You guys understand the weight of this match. Like Salam said, you only need one goal. It don't matter where you get the goal from. You just need one. This is where I look at Odegaard. You're the captain. This is where we need you to step up. This is a big match for us. Obviously, no Saka. Obviously, makeshift striker. Bro, you're a Real Madrid kid. You're Arsenal captain. I expect, and this is when personally I expect big players to show up in big games. It's the round of 16. It's not a quarter or a semifinal. It's not like the teams are the best top five. This is where Arsenal's like, yeah, we're a top five, top six club in the world still. We're going to go through. So I expect Arsenal to go through. I don't think it'll be pretty, like Salam said. But just like Villa, you know, I expect Villa to go through. They edge out Bruges a little bit. And when I look at this Arsenal team, as beat up as they are, I still expect them to go through. So that's how I feel about that. But, you know, the Madrid derby is going to be interesting, especially when you look at what's going on in La Liga on the table. Everyone's a point apart. When you look at them in real life, obviously it's a Madrid derby. This has happened multiple times over, but I don't know, man. Madrid does not look like Madrid. You know, we talk about teams looking about the shell of themselves. Right now, it's kind of sticky, especially after you look at what happened in La Liga, losing to Betis this past week. Atleti's kind of rolling. You know, they look good. They look solid. And so how do y'all feel about this matchup? I'm curious to see what y'all say for it.
I mean, I think we talked about it, like, when we were watching the Betis game. Like, bro, Real Madrid, like, they're not, like, a real team, bro. Like, they're not. They're, like, not in the sense of, like, there's anything wrong with their continuity, or their chemistry, or, like, the locker room. Like, the team is, like, it's, like, a fake team. Like, in the sense of, like form really doesn't matter for them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep, I agree.
Even like, when you watch them, like, in games, it's kind of like, I don't know. I have moments where I'm like they don't, like, they're just doing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they know individually they're better than, like,
the other people. So, yeah.
Like, let me just ping this ball and let me see if you can just.
Yeah.
You
know,
but, no, I think this is their competition, man. I think that they've shown that regardless of what the form is, when it comes to the Champions League, Real Madrid is not someone that you want to, you know, come across this early in the knockout round. So. In spite of the form, I still have Real Madrid going through. I think that, you know, Atletico are definitely going to make it tough. We know what we can expect from the Diego Simeone team. But yeah. I think I'm looking at guys like, you know, Mbappe, Vinny, Jude. I think that they're going to, you know, they'll have enough to get the job done. And I think that it's not going to be pretty, but I don't see more than, like, between both games. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to say this because Real Madrid scored two in stoppage time. But
I could be like 3-2 derbies, bro. Like, I could easily.
Yeah, but I just feel like over the court, I don't see more than like 6 goals scored in both games. Like, I could see like very low scoring. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's an 88th minute header, maybe a. In a 92nd minute equalizer. Then you go into
Jude.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, they have a lot of match winners, Real Madrid do. So it's, you know.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Alvarez from Madrid, he's had a good season. Griezmann looks good. The Sorloth, right?
Sorloth.
Yeah, Sorloth. Yeah.
He's another guy who's.
I low-key wanted him at Chelsea, but that's another story.
Bro, they do got a team, man. They got a bunch of guys who, what's his name? Mm. Where's my Argentinian guy? Who's Messi's boy? DePaul. Bro, the king of cup competition. Like, that's the guy. I don't know how to describe it. That's like, if I was going into any cup competition, I would want a DePaul. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Maybe over the course of the year in the league, you don't see what he does.
Yeah.
Two games I need to win. I need someone who's down.
Yeah. See, I'm gonna go the opposite way because this season Real Madrid have not been able to shake Atletico, and I think in the last two games they've played in the league, it all ended 1-1. I agree with Salam. It's not gonna be crazy high scoring. It'll definitely be tight. But I'm going to go the other way because I think the second game is at Metropolitano, at Atletico. The second game is at Atletico. And this Real Madrid team, they're weird. Like Salam said, they're almost like really not a real team. They can score whenever if they really need to. And sometimes they just don't show up, you know. So I think it comes down to the second game. And I don't see them pulling it off. I just don't see it. Even for how, you know, decent they've been, they've played well this season, I just don't see it. Beating Atletico at their home to move on. I think this Champions League is Liverpool's, but that's another topic. But,
oh.
Yeah, I think Atletico.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll get there. So to close out our Tuesday matches, man, history has told me that it will repeat itself. And for me to say Real Madrid will go out in the round of 16 doesn't even sound right. So I agree with you, Mike. But, yeah, man, I just seen it way too many times, bro. I've just seen it
way too many times.
As much as I want to believe Atleti will get it done, my gut is just telling me it's not time yet. You know, like we might see Madrid-Liverpool again. Who knows? But – But yeah, I'm going to lean Real Madrid to go through to the next round. So our Wednesday matches, wrap this up real quickly. We have Feyenoord versus Inter, Bayern Munich versus Bayer Leverkusen.
That's a good one.
Been a very interesting matchup. We have Benfica versus Barcelona. Shout out to Big B's on that side. And then PSG versus Liverpool to close out our Wednesday matches. So starting with Feyenoord Inter, how do you feel about that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, Inter.
For me, it's Inter. I mean, I just watched them a little bit against Napoli yesterday, and that's still a good team. I just don't see them losing to Feyenoord. I just don't. Talent wise, I think, you know, they just outstack Feyenoord in that department, and they're just playing well. So I just don't see them losing to Feyenoord.
Yeah, I don't see them getting enough goals to overcome Inter. Inter is defensively sound. The first game too is at Feyenoord too, so you know, it's that second game being in Milan is going to be tough for them. So who knows if Feyenoord can get a win at home, that makes the second leg interesting.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if they don't get anything at home, I think that's over.
Yeah, I agree with both of y'all. I think Inter just has too much firepower. And like you said, they're defensively sound as well. It's going to be a tough day in the office for Feyenoord. Second match of the Wednesday slate, this Bayern Munich, Bayer Leverkusen. Just bang up. This is going to be one of them ones. How y'all feel about it?
Yeah, I mean,
this one's a toss up for me.
Yeah,
it really is. That's the crazy part.
I will say this: like we've acknowledged Bayern Leverkusen, especially within the season that they've had last season. They're a top team. They deserve to be here. They what Xabi Alonso has done there has been incredible. But I will say this about Bayern Munich this season: they really seem like they took last season very personal. In the league, like they look really good. They look really good. It's not always pretty, but you know, Olise has been incredible for them. You know, hopefully at the end of the season we can look around and talk about, you know, signings of the season. There's a few guys that, you know, I can think of just off the top of my head who have made an impact as soon as they've gotten there. And he's definitely amongst the top of that list, you know. He went from being this kid who is, like, we all knew he was good, right? Like, we all knew that, like, there was something there as a player, but he looks like almost like a seasoned vet. Like, he fits perfectly. Like, he gets away from people easily. So I say that to say this. I think Bayern Munich will go through. I think that, you know, the one thing about these German teams, man, that they're going to concede goals. So if we were to do a lock
of the week,
I would tell you to take the over. But I think the difference is going to be Bayern Leverkusen's defense versus Bayern Munich's offense. Because I think Bayern Leverkusen, they're going to get theirs versus that Bayern defense. It's just a matter of it's just a matter of how many are you going to get before you know, Kane gets his, and, you know. How many goals is Kane on, by the way, in the Bundesliga?
Not sure.
I was just looking at, he's on 21.
Just in the Bundesliga?
Just in Bundesliga, yeah.
So he's acclimated.
That's something.
He was always going to be good over there. He was always going
to
be all right.
Okay. Shout out to Harry, man.
No, yeah, like I like what you said, Salam. When you look at this Bayern team, you know, Olise is just a smoothness about his game, to be honest. Yeah. Like he fits, like even when you saw him at Palace, he just like a smoothness about his game and Eze's game. That's why we always wished they could just be healthy on the pitch at the same time, and it never really came to fruition like we wanted it to. But you know, in the league, Olise 7 assists, 8 goals. Musiala 11 goals, 2 assists. Harry Kane 21 goals, 6 assists. Sané even pitching in with 6 goals, 4 assists. I agree, Salam. I think Leverkusen, what they did last year was one of the craziest things we've ever seen in football. You know, to go that long without losing in the league and almost in Europe as well, winning 2 trophies at that, and then for just that team to kind of just be rejuvenated. You know, what Xabi Alonso did over there is crazy, but. Yeah, this Bayern team really took it personal. I think Kompany he feels more comfortable, you know, being the manager over there. I think that first year there were some things that he had to get used to, and now he's kind of settled in very nicely. I think Bayern's coming back with a vengeance, like you said. And I think this is the year where they could actually go make some noise in Champions League. You know, they've kind of been flying under the radar. If you really think about it, like, teams aren't really talking about them because we've seen them fall in the past. So I think they have this underdog mentality to match, like, the elite players they have on the pitch. Mm-hmm. So whenever you get that together, you're going to see real good football. So I got Bayern moving through as well. Benfica versus Barcelona's third match. I'm just going to go ahead and say Barca's been balling.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough day in the office for Benfica, baby. Like,
I agree on that one. That one is not even, it's not even close. How Benfica made it through the playoff round, I don't know, but they didn't get a favorable matchup in getting Barcelona. So I have Barca moving on as well.
Yeah, I could see it being a tough game one for them because it's at Benfica and then them winning it in the second leg. But like you guys said, I think you know, you're catching this Barcelona team at the wrong time. They look very, very good, and I'm not gonna lie, man. As a neutral, it's nice to see them kind of back in, you know, like amongst the top team. I mean, they're
European pedigree, bro.
Yeah, European pedigree, La Liga. They're right in the mix, so. Yeah, shout out to them. I think over the course of two legs, they'll get through.
Yeah, shout out to Barca. They've been going – that La Liga's going crazy. And final match of the round of 16, I think all of our eyes are going to be glued here, PSG versus Liverpool. I actually want to start with Mike because you said you think this is Liverpool's Champions League as well.
Which yeah, I do. Or at least I think they at least get close to the finals. No, PSG is out of there. I'm sorry. This is Liverpool's season. PSG, the only thing I would hope, you know, to see, at least show us something, is Dembele. You know, it's been the big games that we've been looking for Dembele. And this is one of, you know, he's played well for them this season. He's been their main guy. It's him and Barcola, you know, going back and forth. But I need Dembele to show me that, okay, I can hang when I don't have help around, when I'm the main guy. That's all I need from Dembele in this matchup. And if he can do that, he gives them a chance. But I still give Liverpool the upper hand because what Mo Salah's doing, it's unbelievable. I mean, they're clicking right now at a very high clip. So I just don't see PSG, you know, getting past Liverpool. I will be very shocked if PSG gets past Liverpool.
Yeah, you know a team is clicking when you look at some of their goals and you're just thinking like,
how are they
getting this? You know, it's like every deflection, it's a right deflection. It's a perfect job.
Exactly.
Silva slide always in the right place at the right time. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. And that's kind of, I feel like that's like what I see from Liverpool right now. I actually, you were talking about Dembele. I'm actually going to flip it and I really think the X factor for me in this game is going to be the outside backs for Liverpool. Because, Robertson and Arnold, you got two tough tasks.
Thank you, Salam.
Dembele and Barcola. So, buckle up. Definitely to you two. I mean, again, like, you know, I think as far as the PSG's defense goes, like, I mean, they're going to need to be perfect because Liverpool seems like they can't stop scoring. And I feel like, and what's more important than that is like they don't concede goals, like they don't make silly mistakes. Like midweek, you saw Dorgu get sent off, right? Because, right, like him and Onana, like the, I'm sorry, he got sent off, but like the own goal that happens, you know, the miscommunication. Onana's coming out, Dorgu goes to pass it to him, and then dude from Ipswich gets it and scores. Like Liverpool's not making those mistakes.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Van Dijk's not being like, oh, Alisson, I didn't see you. Like it's not, although they don't do that. Yeah. So, like I just they're a tough team to break down, and I don't know, man. I just gotta shout out Slot, man. What he's been doing, whatever he's saying to them,
yeah,
it's working.
They're buying in, yep.
Yeah. I'm gonna go against the grain, man. I'm gonna go against the grain. So I agree with everything all of y'all said. Like I agree 1,000%, especially with what Salam said. Liverpool is just playing so well. It's like magic, you know. It's like sometimes when you're playing so well, everything just falls your way. And Liverpool's kind of in that phase of the season right now. They're in that phase because, you know, they have played together. A lot of this core has been here for the last 3-4 years. A lot of this team knows each other. Like you said, they're not going to make mistakes because Alisson and Van Dijk are probably telepathic at this point. You know, it's like they don't there's never a doubt that something like that would happen. But at the end of the day, I think PSG is scary right now. I think they're really, really in just like this, you know, Barcola, Dem Boys, you know, Dem Boos, We Dem Boys, like young YN type. We're just running right now. And in the French league, there's really no one there to stop them. So everyone's confidence is high. I think even the way they played getting into this Champions League, you know, they didn't have to play in the last knockout round. I think they right now they feel that they are that team. And I don't know. I don't necessarily think they have enough to beat Liverpool in two legs, but I want to highlight what Salam said. The outside backs for Liverpool are going to have a day. This is not the time where Trent is allowed to dilly-dally. You know, like I don't know if we see him play 90 minutes in both of these legs because there's going to be a point where he might need to be taken off. So I think it's going to be a tough, tough matchup. I really don't know if PSG can pull it off, but I'm rooting for them. I ain't going to hold you. I like that PSG team. I really, really like this PSG team.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their table. They're in first place with 62 points. Second place, Marseille has 49 points.
They're running, bro. Like, there's no – like, they're running. All year, I've been, y'all know how I feel about Dembele, bro. I've always liked him. He's always been, like – I always call Timothy Weah, you know, like, Dembu's, you know, little bro type thing. They all they have a similar play. I just – the first time in his career, he's been healthy and he's been consistent. And I want to see what he can do as the leader of this team. You know, he's French as well, so he has a lot to play for. I don't know. I'm just rooting for him.
It's a good story. Mm-hmm. I mean, to Mike's point, like, you know, you're the guy now for you to win, you know, Ligue 1, like, not, I wouldn't say by yourself, but like
Mbappe. No, definitely by myself. But Mbappe left, you know, this is definitely his team now.
Like, this is a big, like, you know, legacy kind of, like,
booster. Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know about you, but I feel like there was, like, a little bit of, like, kind of stain on his name a little bit after, like, the World Cup.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, so, like, for him to kind of, you know, have this move to Paris and playing well, you're going to win Ligue 1 unless something crazy happens. And, you know, you're in the knockout round of the Champions League. Like, good on PSG, man. Like, this – I like seeing teams just, like, you know, being able to bounce back once, like, a big figure kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's football. So, shout out to them.
But yeah, man, that wraps up our Champions League games.
Let me ask you guys then this, though. We went through I'll ask Gabriel next week, but who do you think wins Champions League?
My favorite right now is Liverpool.
You know, I'm a lean Madrid just based on what I've seen in the past. I still think they have enough. You know, Alaba just got back. I think that strengthens up their defense. And at the end of the day, defense is big, 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 big. Once you get down to these final, you know, knockout rounds, the quarterfinals, semifinals, a lot of these matches are 1-0. A lot of the times they're 1-1 going into the extra time. So I think Madrid still has enough.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Madrid. I think it could be, unless they link up soon, I think it could be a Real Madrid-Liverpool final, but I just feel like Liverpool, like, they don't have the depth that Real Madrid has. Like, you know, Liverpool is one injury away from being like, wow, God forbid, something happened to Salah or something happened to Van Dijk, and it's just kind of like, I don't know, like, something happens to the big guys, and you look at them and you're like, oh, your guys are kind of fragile. You know what I'm saying? But God forbid happened to Vinny, it's like, we still got Rodrigo, we still got, you know, guys like Brahim Diaz. Yeah, like, we have bodies, you know what I'm saying? Like, no disrespect, you're bringing on, you know, Darwin. You know, it's like, which reportedly, I guess he's supposed to leave too, you know? Yeah. I don't know, bro. That's crazy. That guy, Darwin, people got a lot of energy for Antony. It's crazy. Like, no one said
we ain't get to the MVP of the Real Betis Real Madrid match.
Oh, bro, don't get me started. Shout out to that was going to be one of my shout outs.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let's just go ahead. Yeah, into predictions so we can get into shout outs.
Okay.
For our teams.
All right. Well, for y'all, me, I mean,
y'all see Arsenal.
Yeah. Y'all see who,
us? Yeah.
What you mean?
Nah, we do see Arsenal, but we see Real Sociedad before that.
Oh, you mean Europa? Yeah. Europa League,
which you know, we should be one of the favorites. But I'm looking at the teams left in Europa, and it's like, I don't know, bro. All these teams, there's a bunch of teams that I don't want to see. Like, I don't want to see. Low key, I wouldn't mind seeing Tottenham, but like Lazio. Roma, you know, we have Real Sociedad, but I think we'll have enough to beat them over the course of two legs. But no, this should be not a layup for us, but this should be a good opportunity for us to get into Champions League. Again, you know, winning Europa League would do us a great service. We need the money. We need the confidence. I think the manager could use the confidence. Whoever's going to be here next year could use the confidence. So, yeah, Europa League has to be like our number one priority going forward. But yeah, I think that I think this first leg will be a draw, and then ultimately we'll win it at Old Trafford. But yeah, Arsenal. Arsenal. I don't know. It just sucks because if we beat them, we give Liverpool the league, right? But. I think we may play spoiler, man. They're coming to Old Trafford. I feel very confident considering that they don't have a front three. They don't have a striker, to be fair. But I think we'll get a draw. I think we'll get two draws this week, and I think that we'll solidify Liverpool getting the title this weekend.
All right.
Mike,
we see Leicester.
Copenhagen.
Go ahead.
Midweek.
European.
All big teams play on Thursday, fam. All big teams play on Thursday. You already know.
Okay.
Dude, I just want to see Cole Palmer get a goal or an assist or gain that confidence back. A Cole Palmer goal would actually be good, you know.
Yeah.
It's in Copenhagen, we'll be away in the first leg. Let's go get a result.
Yeah. I mean, this competition, we have no excuses. It's just one of those that we just got to get it done. It's like,
even if you win,
we move. Like, there's nothing to really celebrate here. You're the clear favorites. You're the clear best team. Just take care of business.
I agree.
And then Sunday. Yeah, we see Leicester. Another favorable matchup in the Prem. I expect two dubs this week, back to back, in the Conference League and in the Premier League. There's no excuses this week.
Yeah, I agree. Like Mike said, we see Leicester, so we've played the 20th team on the table and now the 19th team on the table.
There you go.
Please, you know, start to make strides towards that top four again.
Doing this again, and then
it don't even got to be all that. You know, it could come from wherever it needs to come from. Last week we had four goals. You know, what I'm hoping for though is a clean sheet. To be honest, both games. I'm looking to see clean sheet both matches. That would be, you know, how like when you play the video games, like the extra bonus. Like if you complete that too, you get an extra.
That's all we need.
I want clean sheets on both. But yeah, man. Highlights. Anybody got any highlights? Shout outs, I should say.
Yeah,
I'm shouting out Wilfred Zaha getting his first goal, assist, and win for Charlotte FC. So shout out to him. It's good to see him in the MLS. We hope. You know what he's done, or this move will attract other, you know, like big names from the Prem.
So yeah, and he just had his baby this week too.
A daughter, yeah.
Shout out!
Yeah, he had a trifecta.
Yeah. I had a few, man. Go ahead, Cornelius.
No, I was going to say, whenever, you know, whenever you get a, you know, when that kid come, you know, you can almost know that goal coming, fam. You're playing for something bigger, you know, it's just that little extra boost. So shout out to Zaha. Shout outs. I wanted to shout out, first and foremost, I want to shout out John Obi Mikel.
for
saying what he said, because, you know, as most Africans, he didn't hold his tongue. He gave you his full, authentic self. And for that, I commend him because, you know, he has a big platform. And I don't remember who said, I don't know if I saw it on social media or someone said it in the group, but he's a player who has pedigree. So no one can say that, you know, he hasn't, you know, who is John Obi Mikel to say this about that player? Because certain times you hear the right message from the wrong messenger, but this was the right message from the right messenger. Even though it was a little bit raw and uncut, you know, he said what he said and he felt that way. And I agree, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just downplay things like that because you have your own perception. It's just as high level as you played, and who are you to say that you could, who are you to think that you could even win this competition, let alone go ahead and disregarded for not as, you know, good as the others. So I love what he said, and as he obviously, as my Chelsea boy, got to shout him out.
Yeah, that's right. I have one more shout out, man. The other one is to my favorite manager of all time. Last week Galatasaray tried to it was ridiculous. The fact that they even let that get out, it was the funniest part. Well, they were trying to say that, you know, Jose Mourinho was calling them monkeys, even though he said they were celebrating like monkeys. It wasn't directed at one specific player. It wasn't directed at just the black players. He just said it in general. And Galatasaray tried to run with that, and everybody just completely shut it down. Because you saw rivals coming out saying, hey, if there's anybody that's racist, we all know it's not Jose Mourinho. And I'm glad that, you know, his former players came out for him. You know, even guys that didn't play for him came out and even supported him. So that's my other shout out.
That was a good one. I wanted to do two. First one, I wanted to shout out Forrester Ajigo for scoring his first MLS goal for Real Salt Lake in their 2-0 win. He scored the game-clinching goal. So, yeah, shout-out to him to get his first. And, you know, I think Real Salt Lake has a bright spot in him, and I would love to see him get more opportunities throughout the season. So my second shout-out, I wanted to be Naomi Girma. She made her Chelsea debut today. Unfortunately, it was cut short. I think around the hour mark she got hurt. So prayers up to her. Hopefully that, you know, it's not anything too bad. And she's able to be back on the pitch soon, but shout out to her, man. She's a big player, and she's I love to see her get the start today. You know, no nonsense, no, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she's a part of this thing. So shout out to her. And then lastly, I wanted to shout out, I don't know if you guys have peeped this, but I wanted to shout out the MLS social media team. They are hilarious, bro. I don't know if, bro, they like, and that's the thing, like MLS, like they do a lot of, like, I don't want to call this one of the small things, but they do a lot of things right. And, like, you know, engagement with the social media, how they do it, I feel like they got it spot on. When Charlotte beat Atlanta, I don't know if you guys have seen
that. No, I've seen that, yeah.
You've seen the meme of, like, the Waffle House when the lady
the Waffle goes, House with Atlanta.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
man, so shout out to them. Obviously, Philadelphia beat FC Cincinnati this week, and, you know, they were I live here. I'm going to get roasted for this. What's the hippo? Fiona, the hippo, you know, from the zoo. They were feeding her L's, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it was just, yeah, it was funny, man. I like that. I like, I think that's good for the league, man, especially.
It is.
You know, some people, you know, they want to see that type of stuff. And if you can tie that in with the sport, I think it's only going to help it grow. So, shout out to all the social teams, man. I love to see what you guys are doing and keep it up, man. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna start tapping in more because I did see I did see the Charlotte one. That's funny.
I did see the Charlotte one too.
Yeah, man, that's hilarious, bro. At the beginning of the season, I'll send it to you guys. They did one for like they did a Vine essentially for every MLS team. Obviously, Vine doesn't exist anymore, right? But it was just kind of like all the cities kind of had one. I forgot what ours was. Cincinnati's was something crazy. They look at us like, like what do they do in Ohio? I don't know why you guys are like, you guys too. You guys are right up the road. You don't got nothing going on.
I'm dead. That's funny.
But yeah, good stuff, guys. Good episode. Recapped a lot. Obviously, let us know what you think. Premier League, FA Cup, MLS, Champions League.
Big week. It's rocking. It's rocking. Yeah, we're full swing.
Yeah. And we were just talking about before we started recording how, you know, this is a good time for soccer right now. MLS just started back up. NWSL is about to start back up. USL is about to start. And, you know, we're getting to the good parts of European football. So, yeah, man. Should be a fun rest of the season. But appreciate everybody for tuning in. And as always, good luck to you in your future endeavors. Thank you.